Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back or welcome to the Building Efficiency Podcast presented by Nenni & Associates. I'm your host, Jim Schaefer. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, Nenni & Associates is an executive search firm focused on the building efficiency industry, hence why we named the podcast the way that we did. And simply put, we help our clients find the right talent. Each week, we sit down with leaders from the industry to discuss their backgrounds, how they got started, and where they see the industry heading. We also get to know our guests and find out what drives them to be successful. Now, on today's episode, our 91st installment, we embark on an enlightening journey with none other than the remarkable Aidan Hamilton. Our conversation with Aidan takes us through the compelling tale of his career's inception, rooted in his graduation from Penn State. We delve deep into the riveting narrative of his career evolution, starting with his tenure at Groom Energy, which later was acquired and became Dalkia. And along the way, we uncover invaluable lessons that have shaped his path. As we approach this episode, I was particularly intrigued by Aidan's insights into Alpen and their go-to-market strategy, especially through the ESCO channel and what they were up to there. Discovering how Aidan's early career experiences continue to guide him as a leader today was nothing short of fascinating. And as always, I appreciate learning about our guests' daily non-negotiables, and this episode was no exception. So join us for a unique exploration of Aidan's journey, and let's dive into the heart of this extraordinary conversation. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our channel and consider downloading this episode and future episodes. This is really the only way that we can track how many people are listening, so if you're still streaming the episodes, I urge you to consider hitting that download button instead. Now, if you enjoy this episode, please share it and leave a 5-star review on our page. Now, we think you're really going to enjoy this conversation with Aidan and me. So let's drop in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Building Efficiency Podcast. Today, we're sitting down with Aidan Hamilton, who is the Chief Revenue Officer with Alpen High Performance Products. Aidan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for making it a priority. I know before we hit record, you've had a busy week, so I appreciate you hopping on here. And I know we haven't had much interaction in the past, but you know, came across your info on LinkedIn and saw what you guys are doing here with Alpen. Looked interesting. Looked like it's certainly tied in and connected with our industry. So I know our audience is going to be interested to hear a little bit more about that. But before we get into it, Aidan, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about your background, you know, where you grew up, and just kind of how you got started in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to share. I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania, a tiny town called Meadville, just in the northwest corner, about 35 miles south of Lake Erie, and attended Penn State. I was an advertising and public relations major. I wanted to be it was before Mad Men and Don Draper existed. For those of you that know the show, but that was actually my vision of kind of what I wanted to do, at least the environment that I wanted to work in. Did a couple internships, and ultimately, upon graduation, was offered a bunch of more internships that were unpaid in very high priced localities, and I had student loans and other things. So I went right into sales. And learned that advertising is a very, very competitive market. I was pretty bummed out at the time, but all's well that ends well. So I did my first 4 years of my career at a supply chain consulting boutique and was cold calling, making about 110 calls a day, mainly to food and beverage manufacturers offering supply chain services. And it was a grind. It was a very, very roller coaster ride-ish in the sense that had to learn to handle rejection very quickly and also take the wins as they were big wins when we're able to pop some leads. And moved up fairly quickly there, had relatively good success landing some significant accounts for the business, and was contacted by what was at the time called Groom Energy, which were kind of a pioneer in the space. Our listeners, your listeners, Jim, are all, I'm assuming, familiar with ESCOs, the traditional ESCO in the mush market. Groom Energy was really one of the first kind of corporate, private-focused ESCOs, so same scope of work, building retrofits, energy efficiency upgrades for the built environment, but not municipal, uni, school, hospital work, more focused on a lot of grocery, supermarket, hospitality, some commercial real estate, and a lot of warehousing. We really were at the forefront of bringing LED technology, LED lighting technology to the marketplace. And I was fortunate enough to be, I think I was the 13th hire there in 2010. And we rode a growth wave that was a very exciting and fulfilling ride. We're actually, to the extent we were actually able to be acquired by EDF out of France and folded into one of their subsidiaries called Delkia. So the company today is named Delkia. And I often describe my tenure at Groom / Delkia as kind of three iterations of an MBA program. Sort of the first 3 or 4 years we were in startup high growth mode, and then the next 3 or 4 years sort of acquisition and immediate post acquisition, and then the following 3 or 4 years really essentially stabilization and really operations focused. And so last year I was contacted by Elpin High Performance Products. They're a window manufacturer, been around for 42 years, really operating in a niche space around high performance glass. And actually for the first about 20 years, really didn't manufacture full frame windows or doors. We're actually primarily a supplier of insulated glass units. So just the glass that goes within window and door finished products. And they were a pioneer around what's called suspended coated film, which was at the time and the most highly efficient and high performing window technology that existed, and still is one of the highest performing technologies. Although we have cannibalized a lot of that with the utilization of thin glass technology in our window and door products. The reason I joined Elpin is because I spent all that time at Groom / Delkia combing these existing facilities for energy savings opportunities. And at least 50% of the time, there would be a low performing existing window. We would be there looking at LED upgrades, HVAC optimization, BMS commissioning, and we would walk by these, to be frank, crappy, low performing, low insulating windows, and just turned a blind eye when the building owner asked us if there was anything we could do about it, because to the best of our knowledge, and at the time, the only thing that could be done about it was to spend an arm and a leg to rip it out and replace it with a new, highly priced, higher performing window.
And that's not going to help with the payback, right? That doesn't really help with the overall energy savings efficiency plan.
Absolutely not. Yeah. High investment hurdle to overcome. And so, so Elpin about 2 years ago developed a solution that really tackles that problem. It's been a highly overlooked issue in the built environment that not only a lot of people talk about. So the product is called WinCert, and it is a simple and elegant solution that is built off of the framework of our core product, which are new windows and doors. It utilizes thin glass technology in a fiberglass frame and installs from the inside out. So 9 times out of 10, we are able to address the existing low-performing glass and the low-performing aluminum frame that is part of that existing window opening that is oftentimes more of a thermal bridge and a barrier to energy efficiency than the glass itself. So we're over-insulating from the inside out, and it's really a beautiful thing to the extent that it creates no mess. We're not removing anything. We're simply installing and upgrading something new. It is a tremendously a high payback profile. So, there's our market data tells us that it's anywhere from 10 to 12% the cost of a traditional rip out and replace window replacement, which is tremendously compelling. And it installs it's about 10 times faster to install because there's no removal, no outside exterior work, no lifts. All of the all of the external complexities that come with those types of projects.
That's interesting. So let's kind of get into the, especially as we tie this into our audience here, building efficiency, energy efficiency. People listening here are working for an ESCO. They're working for an engineering firm. They might even be, working on the end user side as somebody running, sustainability and operational initiatives. So tell us about the kind of the go-to-market strategy with this particular product. Who are some of the customers or channels that you're focused on here today, Aiden?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's multifaceted. And the audience is obviously building owners and building engineers primarily in terms of the specific individuals that we're interacting with and targeting. And in terms of building type, to date, our primary focus has been in areas where, of course, there's high utility rates and also nuances associated with local building performance ordinances, either existing or pending, such as New York City, Boston, D.C., more recently Denver. So really focused on commercial office space primarily in those markets, kind of in terms of like a rifle approach. We have done projects all over the country. And more recently, as I've come on board, have taken a concerted focus around developing relationships with ESCOs and the organizations that develop projects for ESCOs with the intent of driving further adoption into the MUSH market. And actually, curiously enough, I'm returning from a trip from our headquarters in Denver, where Administrator Robin Carnahan of the General Service Administration was there touring our facility. We were the recipient we were a participant in what's called the Green Proving Ground 2 years ago with our WinCert product, and she was there to tie all that together and wrap things up. And it's an indication of all the investment being made in the public sector, and we're extremely encouraged about the role we can potentially play in that with not just the buildings that the General Services Administration holds, but just more broadly. Within the MUSH market and the commercial market in general.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guests on so far that have approached the ESCO market in a similar way. Hey, there's a really creative, innovative product, which it sounds like you guys have. But I also know that nothing in sales or selling to the ESCO market is ever easy, right? I'm sure there's always going to be some sort of hurdles that you have to clear. So what have you heard or seen so far, right? As far as like, because it does sound like something that should be in every building that's needs to get retrofitted. Any building that's at a certain age, it's like, wow, this seems like a no-brainer. But what are you hearing and seeing in the market as far as like maybe the adoption rate isn't at the degree that you and your team would like?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest challenges that we have is just awareness, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I gave the kind of anecdotal example of my experience working as an organization that was tasked with upgrading buildings to be higher performing from an energy efficiency standpoint. And had WinCert been around and we'd been aware of it, it would have certainly been part of our bag of solutions or bag of tricks. I think that's challenge number one. And with respect to payback and just investment viability, on its own, it is typically we're talking about absence of incentives in like an average utility rate market. We're going to be anywhere from 4 to 12 year payback. And obviously, that's a very wide range. And as we know, it's dependent on a lot of variables. What is extremely exciting and interesting is just conceptually the amplification of return that occurs when window retrofit projects, building envelope projects are incorporated into an HVAC, either upgrade or retrofit. And they're held in conjunction with one another. And what I mean by that is there is a tremendous load reduction opportunity when we're addressing building envelope first, and then obviously addressing the HVAC systems. We have one example of a project that we did about a year and a half ago where they actually, it's a veteran administration building in Houston. They replaced their chillers, 450-ton chillers, two of them, in 2010. again, 2021, did a full building retrofit with our WinCert product. And based on the data that they've gathered in the time since, they could have gotten away with two 250 to 300 ton chillers, which obviously would have had a tremendous energy savings impact, but also would have reduced the upfront capital required by $500K to $600K roughly. And so that's really where we're trying to marry in WinCert as an opportunity with the folks that are both the folks that are developing these projects as well as the building owners, and get in early enough so we're able to collaborate and really fully understand the picture of investment grade opportunity that exists.
Makes sense. Well, hopefully this this podcast is going to help with the awareness factor. So that's one of our goals here. So hopefully we're able to get the message out. That'd be great.
Sure hope so, and appreciate having the platform.
No, I'm looking forward to continuing to get into this here. And what I was curious about next, Aiden, I mean, we always ask any guest who comes on here to take out your crystal ball and look into the future, right? So if you were to like hover out, look 5, 10, 15 years later on down the road for this industry, you know, where do you see it heading?
Yeah, you know, I think there's probably, that's a really good question. And I think there's probably two things that jump into my mind immediately. Number one, just the creative financial architecture associated with energy performance contracting and energy as a service. There's been a lot of innovation, a lot of activity around that. And I think we're hopeful that that's going to have positive implications on not just adoption of our products and solutions, but really just a more a continuous effort on installing and upgrading with innovative efficiency technologies. So that's one. And then I think two, and again, in the public sector, the influx of investment from the Fed, I think is really taking the IRA. Everybody's been waiting around to really like fully understand the guts of it. And I think we're just at the tip of the spear of beginning to see that adoption begin to take place. So I think those are kind of two of the topics in the pure, I guess, ESCO market that are really interesting. And then perhaps a third, I would say, is one that I already mentioned, but just sort of the driving force associated with local building performance standards. BOMA in Boston, you know, we have a ton of stuff going on in New York. I mentioned DC. And I think just seeing that take off more rampantly in pockets of the country, just understanding how it's going to serve as a forcing function to drive further adoption and investment in our built environment. So I don't have a crystal ball on
how
those things will turn out. I guess I'm describing the crystal ball itself, and what's inside of it will reveal itself over time.
Right. Yeah, no, I know none of us do. I just thought it's a fun thought exercise for us to walk through and something to chew on. So I appreciate your insight there. So let's kind of transition to the last part of the show here. You know, I'll ask you the same four questions that we ask every guest who comes on, and wanted to lead off with you. What are your daily non-negotiables?
Oh man, that's a fantastic question. So I guess from a kind of a tactical professional standpoint, I try to have a meaningful in-person or voice-to-voice interaction with at least one customer or project or prospect every day. You know, one of the things that I've come to realize is that when we're in leadership positions, we can really easily get caught up in working on the business and fall into maybe a little bit of a trap around being completely zoomed out or hyper-focused on the sort of strategic aspects, leaving little to no capacity to work in the business and in whatever capacity we bring the most value. So in my role, obviously as a leader of customer facing teams, I feel like it's extremely important to remain consistent and just keeping a direct finger on the pulse of our customer base and really maintain a meaningful presence there. I guess kind of from a more personal standpoint, really try to find gratitude for something and acknowledge it to myself in a meaningful way every day, even if it's something small that may seem insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And also just from a physical standpoint, and I'll admit in practice, this is not an everyday event, although I do my best to commit to it at least 4 days a week. So I suppose it's a 4 day per week, non-negotiable, but just do
we'll
something.
Take it. We'll take it.
Yes. just do some physical activity that makes me sweat, even if it's only for 5 or 10 minutes, just break a sweat. And then, you know, I think learn something new and interesting about a particular topic or person, which really isn't difficult in the business I'm a part of and the industry we're in. And on the flip side of that, try to teach someone something new that they'll benefit from learning. And I think, yeah, those are everyday tasks that I strive to accomplish.
That's great. No, maybe think of, I read Matthew McConaughey's autobiography, Green Lights.
Great.
And he talked, there's a section where he talks about break a sweat every day. That was one of his like non-negotiables, break a sweat every day. So that's the challenge to you, Aiden, is take that 4 days a week and get it up to 7, do something
yes.
every day.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
There we go.
It's on for the challenge.
Well, cool. So next question here, what advice would you give to your 22-year-old self graduating from Penn State?
Oh, wow. A lot. There's a lot of advice, I guess. I think invest in your personal development with intention and really be mindful of connecting with others and building meaningful relationships, across a network of people you can both learn from and serve. And I think that's something that I caught on to probably later than I would have preferred. But really just, identifying the peers and managers and leaders that model the characteristics we seek for ourselves and observe them in a way that we're able to embody their qualities and behaviors over time. I've benefited tremendously from my network of professional contacts. And would like to think that I've provided some value as well. And that's served me very well throughout my career. I think also don't be afraid to make mistakes. That's where the growth and learning occurs. And on that same token, just continually embrace your intellectual curiosity. Some of the greatest lessons I've learned, or even an incredibly useful technical tidbits have come from seeking to understand and asking questions that maybe I was initially hesitant to ask based on fear of judgment, that it would demonstrate a lack of understanding. But we don't learn unless we ask and continually cultivate that intellectual curiosity.
That's good stuff. What motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning nowadays?
What gets me out of bed in the morning? I think going back to that gratitude piece, just the gratitude I have around just being here, to breathe the air and take in this journey we call life. That's a little bit kumbaya, but it's sincere. I think the desire to just continue to learn and grow, not just professionally, but also as a human being that maintains a hopeful outlook around being able to utilize my time in a manner that serves the greater good in some way. And so I'm really motivated by both the work itself and the relationships with customers and colleagues that are developed via that work. And, more importantly, and to be candid, this is something I've really focused in on over the last year or so, as part of my own personal growth path. I'm really driven to just do my absolute best to show up for the relationships I have with my loved ones and family and closest friends.
All right. Well, let's get you out of here. Last question. What do you want your lasting legacy to be?
Yeah. What a profound question.
Making you think today, Aiden.
Yes, no doubt about it. So from a business perspective, I'm really proud of the impact I've been fortunate enough to contribute to thus far in my career, just being able to deliver valuable solutions to the built environment that ultimately serve our customers and the communities they're a part of is extremely rewarding. And just continuing that mission in a significant way in the next chapter of my career here with Elpin has been and will be very, very exciting. And I feel fortunate to have that opportunity as well. You know, I think just put simply, I just want to continue to lead and serve others in a way that contributes to their livelihood and continue to deliver value with the work I do and just bring about a positive impact. If I'm able to contribute to the livelihood of others and reflect back with the realization that I've brought an element of fulfillment to those I interact with along the way, then I think that would be I will be satisfied with that legacy.
Well, I think that's a perfect way to wrap up the show. So, Aiden, thanks for being a guest on the Building Efficiency Podcast.
Thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
All right. All right, there you have it, episode 91 with Aiden Hamilton. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And if you did enjoy it, please be sure to subscribe to our channel wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite podcasts. We hope you're sharing this with your friends and colleagues as well. And one last thing, if you have any future guests in mind from the industry, please reach out to me. We'd love to hear from you loyal listeners. So until next time, I'm Jim Schaefer, and we'll catch you on the next episode.